Hello and welcome to episode 116 of Ready to Mosh. I'm Kev P, and alongside me is the pancake to my rabbit, it's Gem G.
That's an ancient mystery, isn't it?
An ancient mystery in joke, but we don't know what it was about.
No, from around the year 2007, I believe.
Yeah, somewhere around there. No idea what it means, but...
But if you Google it, you do see rabbits with pancakes on their head.
Yeah.
What made you come up with that one?
Well, we... A recording 2 days after Pancake Day.
True, yeah.
So I thought that sounded pretty good.
Okay. The most random yet.
Yeah, it is. And completely unrelated to today's topic.
Yeah, because you peaked too soon, didn't you?
I did, yeah. So this episode, we are going to do a review of the Enter Shikari gig that we went to, which would have been, what day was it?
It was Saturday the 10th of February.
That's the fella. Yeah, Saturday the 10th. We went to that in Nottingham. We also saw Noah Finch and Fever 333.
We did.
Or 111, as we should say.
Yeah. So where shall we begin?
Well, we met with a couple of friends, didn't we, first?
We did, yeah.
So we stayed over in Nottingham. A couple of friends of ours stayed over in Nottingham as well.
Should you care for where we stayed? We stayed at the Leonardo Hotel, formerly the Jury's Inn, which is right next to the train station and tram stop.
Yeah. So it was a pretty good location, not far from the arena. And Nottingham was so busy Saturday.
We had to queue for 20 minutes just to check into the hotel.
Yeah. And every food place we went to, you just couldn't get in. It was impossible.
Yeah, we had this grand plan, didn't we? We'll go for a drink. I think we tried 3 or 4 pubs that we couldn't even get past the doorway.
Yeah, the one that we settled on was a old haunt of ours, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Angel, not been there for years since it's been done up.
Yeah, and only just managed to get in through the door.
We were sat in the beer garden in February.
Sat in the beer garden in February, yeah.
It wasn't cold, fortunately.
And yeah, everywhere just seemed just chaotic.
I think it was a combination of the gigs. So that's obviously about 10,000 people that end of Nottingham.
At least, yeah.
Pretty much, because if you're going to go to the arena, you're going to kind of hang out that end,
that side,
really.
And eat, drink around there.
And also Forest were at home with a 5:30 kickoff to Newcastle. So there were a lot of Newcastle fans in our hotel.
Yeah, so there was a lot of football traffic, but it never really seemed to quieten down, did it?
No, I know we've not actually been into Nottingham on a Saturday for quite some time, but it felt more like a summer afternoon because you expect it to be busy in the summer, don't you? Everywhere's kind of rammed because we get a lot of tourists, hen do's, stag do's and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, we thought, oh no, we won't need to book food because we don't know exactly when or where we want to eat.
Or what we wanted to eat.
That's, yeah. So we didn't. And then we went in about 5 places to try and get food.
And eventually managed to get pizza.
We did. Pizza Pungs. Very good.
Yeah, I think it was all right.
Decently priced. Good pizza. You can pick exactly what you want on your pizza.
Yeah, 2 pint steins.
Yeah, forgot about those, yeah.
Yeah, they were good. Went down well. Bit of Blue Moon. Got no orange, though. There was no orange in the Blue Moon.
No, and they'd only got 3 2-pint Stein jugs for 4 of us.
Yeah, I ended up with like the Blue Moon half pint glasses, didn't I?
No, but Nick's 2-pint Stein was just 2 pint pots, wasn't it?
It was actually, yeah.
Yeah, then we got the little proper Blue Moon glasses.
Yeah.
Four into. So everyone was on the 2-pint Stein.
Whose did you say?
Not
you said
Nick.
Nick's.
Oh no, it was Dan's, wasn't it?
Dan's.
Getting confused. Because we normally go to Shikara with Nick. Anyway. Yeah, so Dan ended up with just 2 pint pots full, and we had the small Blue Moon glasses to go with ours.
Which are deceptively good at carrying off a pint. They don't look like they should. They look like sherry glasses.
I was going to say they look like sherry or port glasses,
yeah. Anyway, that was the food. That was the drink. And then we had a wander over to the arena. Nice and easy to get in.
Yep, security were very friendly.
Yeah, really good. You weren't searched everywhere in your bag again, no lipstick out and...
No, it was fine. I was to open my bag as requested and he looked at it and I apologised for it being quite full and so that's perfectly fine. Always be nice to security.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I think we went and grabbed a few drinks, didn't we, before the show started.
We did, yeah. They had interest cider on.
They did, yeah. I had a couple.
I think I just had one.
Well, I'll say a couple. I don't know how many I had.
I don't think you had that many before. We were quite full of pizza, to be fair.
But yeah, that was a problem. Yeah, being full of pizza. But we avoided the wine.
We did. It was an arena show without wine.
Without wine. That's why we could remember it.
Yeah. To be fair, we've not done wine in an arena for a couple of years nearly.
Ghost?
Yeah.
I think it's the last one.
Nearly 2 years ago.
Yeah. But how many arena shows have we done in the last 2 years?
True. This is, since Ghost, this was the third one. And one of those I was driving for.
Yeah.
Merch. Do you want to talk about
merch? Yes. I got a lovely Antishikari t-shirt. We got the octopus design with the tour dates on the back, which I'm sure we'll put up at some point.
Yeah, I didn't get any merch.
No, I was impressed with your restraint.
Well, we'd seen them in advance, hadn't we, all kind of the merch designs. I think someone posted a photo from Leeds the night before.
Mm.
So we kind of knew in advance what we'd be looking at, I guess.
Yeah.
I think partly my issue was some of the designs that you pointed out, they're more kind of death metal, thrash metal logo-y, yeah. And that's
not Shikari.
No. I couldn't decide if I liked the pink and orange together or if I just look like a fruit salad. I mean, some of them are quite nice designs.
I must admit, I did like the Sesame Street design they had.
Yeah, or was it Muppets?
Oh, sorry, no.
Was it Muppets?
No, Sesame Street.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was a cool design.
The Sesame Street design was really cool, but it didn't have the tour dates on. That's what I really want.
Yeah, and there was two with tour dates, wasn't there? The one you got and one of the kind of death metal-y logo.
Which, it really irritates me. You know, like when a particular sort of wave of music starts to come back or gets popular again.
Mm.
They have to get bigger bands kind of jump on that and do these designs. It's like you've never done that before. It's not what you do.
Yeah.
Just kind of leave that alone. You don't need to be doing that. Do like the interesting designs that you do. Don't.
Yeah, I think there were only a couple that had that, wasn't there? I think there was one of the tour dates one, the pop t-shirt, and the rest of them have been based around kind of album artwork, weren't they?
Yeah.
There was a nice scarf, if you're that way inclined, and a beanie hat.
I didn't see those.
Yeah, they were pinned up.
Okay.
The one thing I did want was a poster, but I believe they must have sold out on the first night in Leeds because they didn't have the one either merch stand.
Yeah.
They were limited, or if they had some in Nottingham, they must have sold straight away.
Oh, that's another thing about the merch as well. So as we walked in, there was the big merch queue, merch stand, pretty much as you walk in through the arena.
Yeah.
Smack in front of you in the concourse. And I went over there, I looked at a few designs and was just about to start queuing. And then security, you know, the stewards and everything, doing a really good job, kind of shouted that there was another merch stand. And it was, you actually kind of walk past it, but you don't realise it's a merch stand.
No, it's weird because when we went to Gajira, as we walked in the doors, there was one there in front of you, but this was further around.
It was further to the back.
More towards the back where you go into the other kind of ice area, ice rink area.
And yeah, there was like virtually no queue there, so it didn't take me long to get one. And had you gone up at that point?
No, I was just waiting with a drink.
Oh, were you waiting with a drink?
Or I think I went to the toilet.
Oh.
If you need to know that. I went to the toilet in the directions where I thought our seats were and I was completely discombobulated and it was the complete opposite end of the arena, but never mind. But yeah, you came to meet us after, didn't you?
Yeah, that's one of the big fuck-ups of the night was the seating, because the seat numbers and the row numbers and the blocks were completely different to what you'd got on the ticket.
Oh, that, yeah. Well, it was just our kind of few seats, really. There's like a section of seating that wasn't accounted for in the, where you go through the doors and it tells you what number seats go through these doors. We weren't accounted for.
Yeah, it was kind of like a block that didn't exist.
Well, it was like up to seats, was it like 1 to 27 and then like, and like 35 to 60 and we were like 30 to 32.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I just wandered in on my own when we first went in and a nice man helped me out. Looking confused. Anywho, back to the merch.
Yeah.
The other reasons why I didn't get merch was one, I've got three Shikari t-shirts already.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to get another for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me feels like I could spend that on a smaller band and get one of their shirts that I don't already own. The other thing is, my Stop the Clocks t-shirt.
You absolutely got ruined, didn't you?
It's just dropped to bits on its own. Yeah. I've got it. But there's loads of holes appeared in the back for no apparent reason.
And it's weird because I've got the same t-shirt and mine's fine.
Yeah. I'm going to get around to maybe cutting it into a crop and getting rid of the holes and, you know, doing something with it. But yeah, that kind of annoyed me.
Yeah, I remember that happening. And yeah, I totally get why you didn't get one. And the t-shirts were 35, I think.
Yeah, and you can maybe get one or two smaller band shirts for that, can't you? So
yeah.
That was my reasoning, my thinking, in the absence of a poster. And also, I'm running out of room for merch.
Yeah, tell me about it.
We both are. So I'm kind of more inclined to get things like posters now that I can stick on a wall, like tour posters and stuff or artwork. So I will still buy merch, obviously, but I'm just being a bit more selective.
About what you buy and when.
Yeah, yeah. And if it is a band where I've already got two or three shirts, then...
Do you need another one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a sucker for a tour date t-shirt, so...
I know you are, but
I will still keep buying
them. Yeah. And I can also borrow yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really look at the other two merch options, as in the Sport Act options, which is a shame because I saw an Elvin's t-shirt after that was quite good and I wish I had got. So
I'll be honest, the issue I've got with arenas when you've got like a major band like Shikari playing, but then two support acts is you can never see the support act merch.
Yeah, it was very tucked away on
really
the
side. Really hard to find. And I must have walked past it a few times because I've probably got Fever 333 shirt.
I've actually got one already.
Yeah, you have, haven't you? Yeah.
I have, yeah.
But I would have potentially got one of those. The only other thing about getting merch from arenas, especially if it's a smaller band, is the cuts that the arena takes, because they can be up to like 25%.
Oh, yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Possibly more for arenas, I think.
Yeah, I know there's been reports of some being like 40.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the Shikari ones, I think were probably about 20%.
I don't know, yeah.
I'm just basing it on what kind of a t-shirt that they'd knock out would be.
I suppose, yeah.
At a show, so I reckon they're probably 20 to 23% somewhere around there.
But given that there were 35 for the t-shirts, and that's kind of a standard at a Rock City type size venue, isn't it, anyway? Most arena t-shirts these days, I think, are 45.
I think it depends on the band. You know, if it was, if it was AC/DC playing there,
it'll be 65.
It'll be 65, exactly, yeah. You know what I mean? That's what it comes down to. Like, it depends on who the band is. And I think that's how they decide what they're going to charge. Charge the band as their cut. And say, oh, yeah, we'll man it for you, but it's going to cost you X.
Anywho.
Yeah, the invisible seats.
I got to the invisible
seats. You got to the invisible seats first.
Because we heard No Offence start, and I was like, oh, yeah, better go. So I missed the first couple of tracks because I was just trying to drink some of my drink. Because I'm not very good at walking with a can, with a cup. I knew I'd got steps to walk down, so I was just a bit like, found my seat.
Yeah.
With the torch on my phone. And yeah, my phobia of arena steps is still high.
Yeah, there weren't that many to get down, though. It's not like Manchester.
No, but when we were in Manchester, we were at the top anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say I refused to go below that row in Manchester, but I did for Alanis, but then I didn't purchase those tickets myself.
So yeah.
That's another tale. There were enough. But what did you think of the seats?
The only issue I had was kind of the position we're at. So we'd have probably been about the halfway point.
I think so. Oh, we're on the front row, by the way.
And the front row of seating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like the seats were good for a view and you got like a barrier in front of you, which I always prefer. But the issue that I had was that you're constantly turning to one side and I ended up with terrible neck and backache after. Yeah. I think that was the only problem that I really had. It was very difficult to get comfortable and positioned. That makes sense. Whereas stuff we've done at arenas before, we've been closer to the stage, so you've not got as much to turn.
Yeah, I see what you mean. For the show that we actually went for, though, I think it worked being that far back, but we'll obviously get more onto that when we talk about Chicago.
Yeah.
I think my verdict on them were it was good to be on the front row because there was no one in front of you and there was like a little barrier, like a ledge you could pop your drink on.
Yeah.
The downside was that my loop earplug case fell between said barrier and the seating, never to be seen again,
which I will take full responsibility for. I dropped it,
so that was an issue. Obviously the steps were an issue, and I think distance from stage was fine, but being higher up you might have got a slightly better view, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but because obviously people can't stand right up to the seats, there's a gap down the side of the standing area, then it wasn't like someone was going to stand straight in front
smack
of you,
in front of you. Yeah. Yeah, and they do enforce that people don't stand in that area, so you always get a good view.
And I think that the main question that you actually need to answer on the seating is, was it worth paying extra for an end seat?
Oh, do we have to pay extra for that?
You have to pay extra for end seats now.
I will say yes, because it's easier to get in and out.
I'm saying that, and I don't remember seeing it on the Shikari tickets. It looked like two at the same price, but I know that generally you do have
to. I don't think at Shikari there was extra.
No. Okay. Ignore that then. But I know that most arenas now.
Yeah, a lot of arenas have started doing that, which is a fucking rip-off.
Although I bought the ticket directly from the arena, not from Ticketmaster. So that might be why, maybe.
Possibly.
And I think we should just mention the ticket price, actually.
I can't even remember how much they were because we had the tickets a while.
the tickets themselves were £35. And then with fees, I think it worked at like 42 or 43 each, which is a bargain for an arena.
It is, but £8 in fees to do nothing.
Well, there is that, but it includes a £1 donation to the Music Venue Trust for every ticket on every show on this tour, which I think is an awesome idea. And why aren't more bands doing that?
That I've not got a problem with.
But it's like £3-4 handling fee. You didn't even handle the tickets. I had to print these myself.
Yeah.
On my own printer. 2 pages of my Instant Ink subscription went on that. And I had to pay for someone to handle an admin them.
Yeah, there is no admin involved.
No. Sending an email with them attached, which is done automatically.
Yeah.
We better start talking about the music then.
Yeah, I suppose we've been rabbiting on for a little while.
Have we done all the practicalities and all of that?
I think so.
We have got one more, but we'll mention that at some point.
Right. I think you're best informed to start on the first band because you were there.
You saw a bit of Noah.
I saw the last three tracks, I think.
Yeah, and I think in total, Noah Vince played 8 tracks. I'm basing this off the set list for Leeds because there isn't a set list up from Nottingham, so I'm just assuming it's going to be the same. And I think I saw 6 out of the 8.
Yeah.
So I was a bit annoyed that I just missed 3 Day Headache, which is his latest single, which I do quite like. Definitely didn't see that. Yeah, I did 30-minute slot. It was one of those where I'd been listening to him a little bit beforehand and some tracks I really liked and some I really wasn't into.
Yeah.
Because it's quite kind of pop punk, but I don't know, with a bit of a twist on it, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm not the biggest pop punk fan in the world.
No, if either of us was going to be the fan, it would be me. I'd be like some pop, well, a lot of pop punk, but their music doesn't really do it for me. It's just a little bit too kind of nasally and a little bit whiny for me.
Which is weird, because I'm normally the one that has issues with... Actually, no, I like a nasal voice. But I'm funny about vocals.
Certain vocals, yeah.
Yeah. In terms of the music, it definitely came across heavy live, I think, obviously.
I completely agree on that.
The full band there.
The last three tracks I saw, I remember watching it and thinking, actually, this is all right live. This I could listen to. But when you're listening to it on Spotify or Apple, it's so different. I'm not a fan of that stuff, but the live stuff actually sounded all right.
Definitely. And overall, it was a really energetic performance, I thought. There was lots of good crowd interaction for him, good crowd response as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played Life's a Bit, which I think is probably my favourite track that he's got. Also, very kind of, I think all the bands on the bill kind of all fit together really well, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, just in terms of their kind of social stance or whatever. Because he did play, I don't know if you were in for that point, but he was playing kind of a compilation of basically transphobic comments from the media across before one track. And then he played...
Yes, I did. Yeah, I was there for that.
And then the Harry Potter theme with very obvious jibes at J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
And all of that got a really good response, so...
Yeah, what was interesting as well, I think, with the mix is that it was, when we're talking about all of the bands that played, they would do all different styles.
Yeah, that as well.
There was no, you know, when you go to a lot of shows and it's every band's the same. It was kind of like the sort of thing that happened when we saw Napalm Death, Skindred, Volbeat. All three great bands, different sounds. And that's what this was like.
Yeah, I think the whole thing fitted together really well. And it was a great opening act. And then I can see why Shikari chose him. And yeah, I thought it worked really well. Potentially might watch him again at Download.
Yeah, I think for me, it depends what else is on.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, it's going to depend. It depends on the clashes.
If I can, probably will.
So then on to the sub-headliner, which was Fever 333.
111. I feel like that's getting a bit old now.
This, I thought, came across really well live. The energy in this was really fast-tempoed stuff. And I thought there might have been a longer set than this.
I think it was about 40 minutes.
Yeah. It just didn't seem to be 40 minutes. Yeah, it just felt like it went really quick.
It did go really quick. It was like non-stop, constant, song after song after song.
Yeah, there were a couple of things that surprised me. One was that Made in America was played so early on.
Yeah, I mean, the first three, four tracks, I think, are like my favourite ones, and they were just there back to back.
Yeah.
Okay, you can go now.
yeah, what else are you going to do?
I'm done.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Fever 333. Another one of the things that they did, which, I mean, really surprised me, is their, it was the stance on Palestine and Israel, like really pro-Palestine, which a lot of people won't go anywhere near, but they were quite happy to, this is happening, and really kicked off.
I think that's what I was meaning, really, about the whole
social,
the three bands as well, yeah. Obviously.
That certain political standpoints, yeah, views.
Yeah. Social, and, you know, yeah. It was a good lineup. And I think if you're going to have those artists playing, and a Shikari crowd is the right one for them to play in front of.
Yeah, exactly. It's the right crowd.
Yeah.
For that, you know, for those kind of sentiments and comments, as opposed to other bands where it wouldn't go down as well.
Yeah, I've seen Fever 333 three times now. 333 times.
How can you manage that? Download?
Download 2019, they're in the Avalanche before Shikari.
Oh, I would have been watching Pumpkins.
You were, yeah. Download last year, didn't fully see them. I just saw, I think saw most of it from the guest area on the
screen
things, yeah. But could hear.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm counting it as a scene.
Yeah.
And every time it's just been a complete chaotic, energetic performance. You know, you never know where Jason's going to end up next, or pile on in the crowd.
Yeah, I think stayed on stage all the time.
He went in the crowd.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
I think, I'm sure he did.
Oh, no, actually, yeah, yeah. I do remember that now, yeah. That was a really interesting set. Really, like I say, really quick. Seemed to go a lot faster than 40 minutes or whatever.
Yeah. He also did a dedication to all the women in the room, which I think was one of us.
Yeah, it was actually. Yeah, I remember that. Again, the, you know, like a Shikari crowd, the right, mm-hmm, the right crowd for that. I don't think you'd see that at Pantera, would you?
Oh, God, no. Neither of these acts, I don't think, would go there.
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent performance. Really good.
On to the main event then. After a short interlude.
Well, they set everything up. It was time for Shikari. Started off with a spoken word bit at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Rao doing the basically system.
Yeah.
So it didn't start how I expected, to be honest.
Same.
There was no curtain drop.
That's what I was expecting.
That's a disappointment in an arena or any show. But anyway. Now, I thought there might have been more of a build-up music, and then them coming on, and it just was like, lights off, there was Rao in the spotlight doing a solo version of System, which then just blasted into Meltdown as the rest of the band came on. I was actually expecting A Kiss for the Whole World to be a first and a trumpet solo to begin with.
Oh,
I didn't look at the set list in advance. So that's in my mind what was going to happen.
Oh. Yeah, no, I didn't look at the set list in advance either. And I was surprised they played Live Outside so early.
I feel like they did that last time we saw them, though. Was it about midway?
It's about midway, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like third track in, that's really early.
Well, it was the last track for a while on that tour, that cycle.
Setlist-wise, perfect.
It was perfect. I think there might have been a couple of tracks that I thought, oh, we should play that. But, you know, they played 26 tracks.
Yeah, they've got quite a back catalogue now.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like getting up for nearly 20 years worth of back catalogue. Mm. And obviously in an arena, you're going to get an arena-sized set list.
Well, once they finished Live Outside, they went with Giant Pacific Octopus, which is off the new album.
Yeah, first one they played off that.
And is the logo on the front of my T-shirt.
It is, yeah.
And then into Anaesthetist, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah, it was excellent. And Torn Apart is one of my favourite tracks, so I was very happy that they played that one.
Yeah. And yeah, it was relentless, wasn't it? It was just non-stop.
But it didn't feel as long as it did.
No. Didn't feel 26 songs.
No.
And there were some kind of cool little breaks in it as well. And it was when they went into, was it Bloodshot? And that's where they had the really cool tank set up.
Yeah, I wondered what was going on with that.
Yeah, I had no idea. It was one of the most insane things I've seen at an arena. It just looks so impressive. And Rao basically put a set of ladders up the side of one of the kind of like light boxes, weren't they?
Yeah, I guess that's what the kind of set was made of, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was quite sparse, but mainly
it was
for the lighting.
The visually it was just stunning. And he climbed right to the top of this box, and it was huge. It was really high in the air. And the box was made to look like it was full of water as well. And I don't remember it, that particular box anyway, doing anything else up until that point.
I don't really remember noticing either of them doing anything specific until that point.
Until that point. And it genuinely looked like it was full of water. It was so effective. It just hit you straight away. It's like, oh, God, that is full of water. That's what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah.
And then he dives into the water, gets on top, jumps in, and you see him swimming around. And I'm, my brain's swimming, what the fuck is happening? Is this really, is he in water? Is that not water? I don't know what's going on now.
It could have been at that point I put my glasses on.
I think you did.
I put them on at some point.
I think that was the point you did that. And I was really fucking confused. Yeah, so that went on, and then that's when the boxes kicked into life, and that's when they started lighting up and doing all kinds of shit. And then he appeared a few minutes later on the other side of the stage. I was like, bro, that was kind of straight up David Copperfield shit. I don't know what's going on now.
Yeah, I can't remember if I filmed that bit. I'll have to look back because I've not looked back at all the clips I got yet.
But that was one of the most impressive things I've seen on an arena stage, you know, for a long time.
Yeah, definitely.
It just looks so good.
Yeah, I mean, the whole production, which we haven't really mentioned yet, but the whole production was just insane. It was a completely immersive experience. I think the only thing that was missing was like if they'd been pumping some kind of smells to go in each track.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have just been completely just fully immersed in it all.
Yeah, you just felt like everything was within touching distance. All of just so many visual effects. And it was, I mean, I think that was possibly the best produced visual effects that I've ever seen at any show, not just the Shikari show, any show.
I think so as well. And that's why I'm kind of glad we were as far back as we were. Because
we would have missed.
If we were sat where we were for Volbeat or even Gojira, I think you wouldn't have had that distance of impact.
Yeah.
And it just worked so well. Because even though there was a lot of production, it never felt overproduced.
No. It wasn't, they weren't doing it for the sake of it. And it just blew me away. And I mean, it's not only the best visual show I've ever seen in an arena, possibly ever.
Be up there.
It's got to be up there. It was so well done. You know, once we've got the videos up, we'll share those on the socials, but some of the effects were just insane. Yeah, kind of going off slightly on a tangent, just remembering getting lost in all those effects. Yeah.
Speaking of which, snake bit, that was awesome, the background for that, just the black and then the green snake going round. And
oh, yeah, yeah, they had the old
Nokia.
Yeah, old Nokia snake. Game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had that going on in the background. That looked really good. A lot of the stuff had a kind of cool retro feel to it.
Yeah, it's a combination of that or like really technical stuff. And then there was like lyrics would flash up as well. And yeah, it had just been so well thought out, the whole thing, you could tell.
Yeah, unbelievably.
How much time it would have took to plan each song with all their song.
Yeah, and what we'll have to do is check through the other set list to see if they're doing the same songs every night.
Yeah, it might be similar.
Yeah, but bands do mix stuff up. It's like, how do you prepare and get that ready between...
Yeah, I imagine they've probably got a couple that they might switch around, maybe. But yeah, we'll have to have a look. Goldfish, which I know you do not like.
Oh, it's not what I don't like. I think it's got some of the worst lyrics in it. It's kind of Red Hot Chili Pepper level lyrics.
I know what you mean, but obviously it's metaphorical, isn't it? I wasn't expecting them to play that one, actually, all the tracks on the new album. I thought that might be one they wouldn't do. I think my one gripe of the night actually was the giant goldfish on the screen, because that was freaking me out, because fish eyes just...
They were massive.
They were.
And it looked like it was almost 3D coming at you.
Yeah.
It was like 3D without the glasses.
Yeah, I was not a fan of that bit. Jester, I wasn't expecting a little bit of that. And then that went into Losing My Grip, which is the latest single that they've released with Jason Aylon. So obviously he came out and a little sing-song.
Yeah. And then it was time for solo.
Yeah. Rao going up a big tower again.
Yeah. Loves the tower. Absolutely loves the tower.
I really loved the acoustic version of Juggernauts. Wasn't expecting that.
No, that was a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know they like to mix up a lot of the stuff into acoustic things, but that was a surprise to see that in there.
Yeah, because you know that Rao's going to do one or two acoustic tracks in the middle anyway, but you know, generally, there's usually one or two tracks on each album that it's going to be picked from. And I remember when he started playing with that, I'm like, I know these lyrics and I couldn't think on it.
Yeah, and then just before we get on to the next bit, I remember being in the seats and I think it might have been during Juggernauts. Dan came over to me and said, can you see where they're setting the stage up from where you are? because obviously we were slightly elevated.
Yeah, I think it was before then. I think it was before Shikari came on.
Oh, was it?
I thought it was later in the...
Oh, it might have been then. Okay. But I do remember Dan asking me if I could see this where the second stage was. And as luck would have it, it was pretty much smack in front of us.
Yeah.
We couldn't have got any closer to it, could we? And so they set the second stage up there. And I just remember it just kind of appearing from nowhere.
Yeah, I can remember seeing it and then wondering how it was going to work and how the band were going to get on it and everything.
Yeah.
Or what they were going to do there. And it looked quite small, so I'm thinking, how's the whole band going to fit on it?
Yeah. It was odd, especially being that close to it as well. Because normally you're just miles away from anything like that.
So, yeah, we definitely were smack in front.
Yeah, we were kind of like in the prime position for that. And then what was really clever, the rest of the band, I don't know how they got them down there.
Well, I saw them leave the second stage, so they must have gone up the same way.
The second stage, they kind of ran underneath us, didn't they? Through the exit right next to where we were.
So I think while Rao was doing his thing, they obviously got them through the crowd at that point. But everyone would be watching the stage.
Yeah, so they kind of snuck them through there and kind of made it, they must have made it a bit darker over where they were at that time, so they couldn't be seen. So they got in position. And this is how clever it was. So like your focus was on Rao at the front while they snuck the rest of the band off the main stage and onto the second stage. Then while you were focused on the second stage, Rao came off the main stage and ended up about 6 or 7 rows above us.
Yeah, slightly further to the front. He suddenly appeared with a spotlight on him.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, everyone suddenly got round and started looking, didn't they?
Yeah. And I've got the worst footage of that ever. Because I couldn't get my video to work properly.
Oh, no, that's fine. I've covered. Anyway, he played the sights and basically made his way around the whole arena seating area with the help of a security guard and a torch.
Yeah. And I've never seen anybody do that much, cover that much distance.
No, it was good. Because obviously he was stopping and having like duets with people and high-fiving and all of that to get round.
Yeah. Did he say something about, I wish I'd not fucking done this now?
Something like that, yeah.
It was all right on the other side of the arena. It was absolutely knackered.
And I think he did it in Leeds the night before, but obviously the seating area of Leeds Arena is very small compared to your average arena because of how it's set up.
Yeah, he had a lot of work cut out.
How he's going to get on at Wembley, I don't know.
Fuck knows.
But yeah, he made it round. I think I've got footage of most of the way.
Yeah.
A bit like a Where's Wally at times because I couldn't quite track him.
Trying to work out where he was, yeah.
I know I've got one of my videos is about 3 minutes in length, which is about the right length for the song.
Yeah, normal service resumed. And once everybody was back on the main stage, didn't take too long for everybody to get there. They blasted through kind of half a dozen songs before they got to the encore.
Yeah, I think the last three tracks before the encore as well worked so well. It was like It Hurts, Into Satellites, Into Dreamers Hotel. So I think I stood up for all of those.
Yeah.
Because people behind us were stood up, so.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. If people behind you are stood up, it's okay, as long as you're not somebody that's doing it to somebody else who has sat down.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because obviously beforehand, I'm sure, I can't remember which episode it was, but it was the whole debate of will I stay seated for the whole thing?
You didn't.
I didn't. No, but the couple behind us were stood up for pretty much the whole way through.
Yeah.
And it would only be them that I was blocking. And they were obviously stood up. So you even stood up a little bit.
Only because my leg started to hurt.
Yeah. Well, I was struggling a little bit with that as well. So it was a bit of a leading on me seat having a bop for those last three in particular, especially Satellites. If there's one track I had to stand up for, it was that. Complete with confetti. That's the only thing I missed from being in the seats. Didn't get any confetti.
Yeah. Yeah. There wasn't much. There was only a few confetti cannons going.
Yeah. There was one earlier on, wasn't there? And I can't remember which track it was. And then Satellites.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was it.
First arena show as well that I can think of where there wasn't fire.
I was just going to say there was no pyro. Well, yeah, it was electrical.
But yeah, fire. Yeah, it was all electro stuff. So.
Yeah, and then we had a little game of peekaboo. Band goes off, but we're still there.
Oh yeah,
I saw something the other day that said that when bands go off for encores, it's like grown up peekaboo. Just stay on stage.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. Just stay there. Just stay there. Play a couple of extra songs. If you need a drink, get a drink. But
yeah.
You know, I'm sure somebody will bring you one. Play a couple of extra songs. Stop fucking about it.
Anyway, track 25 after the encore.
After the encore, yeah, for the encore.
Had to be Sorry You're Not a Winner. A whole arena in time clapping.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was really good. And then onto the song I did expect them to finish on. A Kiss for the Whole World.
Yeah.
That was the one I did kind of think that's what they would finish if I was going to pick anything. Not because it's a personal preference, it's just it made sense for that finish.
Yeah, I think when they didn't start with that, I thought they're probably going to finish with that. And it was a really good ending as well.
It was, yeah.
It worked, just to, obviously that's the name of the tour, so it tidies it up nicely.
Yeah. And the other main thing that I can't believe we've not talked about yet was the drones.
I was going to say, I've just got that wrote down here. That, yeah, if anyone's seen any of the footage already, because there's been stuff put out on Shikari's socials of it. At first, it was quite discombobulating, a drone flying above your head. But
yeah, that, I'll be honest, that confused the fuck out of me. Firstly, I was kind of like, who the fuck's managed to get a drone in? And how has it not been, you know, when, because you're not used to seeing it, it just kind of fucks with your mind.
Yeah.
And the fact that they must have had a couple, two or three drones, I think.
I thought there was only one.
No, I think there was more than one. Okay. But yeah, it was definitely kind of worth them doing it. And you could see, when you see the footage online, you know, it just kind of shows you how good the crowd were, how good the shows were. And again, wouldn't have happened at a Shikari show, that would have happened at other places. Nobody tried to take it down.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like so many bands, if they got drones, people would be throwing shit at it. Yeah. They'd be throwing trainers, beer, but nobody did. And yeah, the footage from that is stunning.
So there was a little clip on Instagram and it just looked insane. It's like, oh, can we spot us? No.
Not a chance.
You could see roughly where we were.
Yeah. Just on, I know we're kind of getting right towards the end now, but did you see Rob's tweet?
About the Manchester
show. Manchester
people throwing beer off the balcony. Yeah.
Proper lost his shit.
He did. Firstly, why would,
you do that? Secondly, how fucking expensive is the beer?
Exactly. Who's wasting £7 pints at least?
Well, technically it's £8 because it's £1 for your cup anyway, isn't it?
You're losing your cup.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me started on cup returns. Yeah, I did see that. So as much as we go, oh, the Shikari crowd, lovely. Obviously not in Manchester.
Yeah, don't trust the Manx.
No offence.
But yeah, that surprised. It's like, I don't know why you'd do that.
No. It's been a while since I've seen a pint thrown at a gig, and I think it is partly due to inflation.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be relentless at Rock City, but it doesn't happen that much there now.
No.
I mean, I know we're on the balcony,
yeah, but you can
usually, but you can still see it all kicking off. And yeah, I can't. It must have been somebody at Rock City, but it's nowhere near as bad as it used to be.
No, I might have accidentally knocked a drop off the balcony out of my own pint.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm fucking launching. I'm not launching £8 pints into a crowd.
Jeez, no.
Yeah, that was just insane.
Mm.
But that didn't happen in the wonderful city of Nottingham.
We're well-behaved people.
We are. And yeah, so then when they switched the lights on pretty much within seconds of the band walking off, didn't they?
Yeah, it's pretty much get out.
It was kind of like, right, you've had your fun, fuck off.
Yeah. Off you go.
And as we were coming out, there were the guys selling the rip-off merch.
There was, yes. They're coming back more these days, aren't they?
It's the first time I've seen it for a while.
There was some outside Volbeat, I think.
Was there?
I'm pretty sure. Or was it Gojira? One of the two. I've seen them outside the arena last year.
Yeah.
I saw them outside Rock City at one gig. I don't remember who it was.
Rock City. I remember Deftones having that.
I don't know anyway. I have seen them recently.
And one of the other things that was happening, there's a band following Shikari around all of the dates.
Because we were waiting for Dan and Zara.
Yeah.
And we could hear music, couldn't we? We're like, who's that? We assumed it was someone blasting something out of a speaker randomly. And it was a literal band on the street.
Yeah.
And they're called The Glitchers, and they're a punk band. And they do that for, it sounds like they do it for any kind of that type of music band that are in arenas. They follow them around, play after, and they just get donations to spread their word. And they sound pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I've not listened to them other than that Saturday night. But yeah, this is a great idea.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So look out for them at other arena shows.
Yeah, and then after that, we went for a few more beers and then back to the hotel.
Yeah, back for midnight, I believe. Anyway, there were three tracks I wish they had played, but I can't complain with 26.
26 tracks, and they were all solid choices.
Yeah. If I had to add three more in, I'd have added in Hectic, Radiate, and No Sleep. You're Not Getting Tonight. You know, I think I've probably seen all of those live at some point.
Multiple times.
You know. That's the thing, though, isn't it? When a band has that much back catalogue, there's always going to be tracks that they don't play.
Yeah, we thought we were getting bad. How many times have we seen Shafari now?
I think that was my fifth.
And we were talking about this, weren't we? I think over food. And it was Dan's 12th time.
Yeah.
So he's been a few more times than us.
Yeah. Well, I think we've said it before. We were pretty late to the Shikari party.
We were, yeah.
Whereas when I was talking to Sarah, and she was like, from the first album with them, because we're just that bit older, I think, and they kind of passed us by for the first 10 years.
That's the thing, yeah. I think initially we weren't that generation, but as they've kind of matured and got older, we've listened to them more.
I think their kind of evolution of sound and our aging and ears taste different. Our ears have different tastes. Your tastes do change, don't they, sir?
Yeah.
And get to see them again and download.
Yes, we'll definitely be there for that.
Don't be ill this time.
I'll try not to be.
I'd like that.
Me too. I'll try and get the spot. I had a similar spot to last time, right at the front.
Oh, main stage. Good luck.
Oh, shit. They're the main stage, aren't I?
Especially if they've got the...
The shitty system in.
If they have that again this year, yeah. Oh, actually, you could queue in early afternoon for it, maybe.
I don't need alcohol.
You can take alcohol in. Anyway. We're getting distracted by thoughts of family already. This early in the year. So overall, absolutely fabulous experience.
Yeah, I know I've said it before, but the best arena show I've ever been to, possibly one of the greatest shows I've ever seen live.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. And the overall lineup, I would say if you're going to see them on the tour, but I think the last UK date's this Saturday, so the episode will be out
before after the last date. Yeah.
Yes, but they are actually, this is going out on the 19th, and they're playing Brussels on the 19th, and they are actually live streaming that show on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
So if you're listening to this podcast on the day of release, as you should be, yeah, watch it, and then you can, it won't be the same, but you'll get an idea
of how good it was.
And if you miss that, then there will be some form of vlog out at some point soon, because we're back in the vlog market, hopefully. I've not checked my footage yet. I've uploaded it. Actually, I did put some clips on while we were there. Well, not while we were there, but straight after, kind of.
Yeah. So
there'll be some things to see of all three bands and our faces. But fast forward through those if you want. And speaking of which, if you want to find out when the vlog is released or see some of the photos, snippets, etc. of the whole Shikari show, then you can find us on Instagram, Threads and Twitter or X at Ready to Moshcast, and Facebook, TikTok and YouTube at Ready to Mosh. So please go check us out, give us a like, follow, share, subscribe or whatever the relevant thing is for where you find us. If you've enjoyed listening to the episode, please give us a 5-star rating and a review would be absolutely lovely because it all helps us very much so. And we'll be back again soon with another episode. Make it mosh. Move.